I have to obey Don Sprague these days. I depend upon him for a good deal of help, and we're glad that he's here. Our daughter Lois, who just sang, and then two young ladies are also here. We've had four of them with us for a few days around Thanksgiving, and we're thankful to God for that. And some of you have been so cordial and so emphatic about my seeking to bring a testimony and a message at this particular time. And I trust that it will flow like it ought to flow. And if not, you can fill in the empty spots. And tonight we have a first-rate preacher bringing the message. So I think the day is well protected. A student in a school was asked to define vacuum. He thought for a moment and he said, "I have it in my head, but I can't get it out." Well, these days, with some of the trauma suffered in the different medical interventions, why, I find myself having something in my head, but I can't get it out like I want to do it. And usually the thought train moves along pretty well, but sometimes it doesn't quite make it and it derails and I have to start over again. So you'll bear with me today in connection with the shortcomings and the trauma suffered from the trials since early in the year. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's what Paul said to his Corinthian audience. And in a sense, though I don't have the same kind of fear this morning because I'm in a congregation that loves us and is willing to help us, he had a different circumstance. But after not having brought the message for quite some time now, I can almost say that I'm with them, with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I can understand what it's like for a person just to start out preaching these days. I had forgotten about those days. That just seemed so natural. But it's great to be with you today, and I thank God for his mercies and for his provision, even in the midst of very great difficulty. On the night of May 30th, I was lying in a pool of blood, of my own blood, in our living room on the floor. So I'd lost so much blood that the medics couldn't find the blood pressure or the pulse. And they were surprised that I was still breathing and my heart was still beating. They said, "Your heart is taking full advantage of the blood that's left." And they asked if I had any trouble breathing or thinking. I said, "No, at that moment I didn't." So they went ahead and did their work. And it was so wonderful that, again, on June 7th, when I had the second big hemorrhage, that took me within an inch of my life. It was so wonderful to tell the medics that I had complete trust in the Lord and they could go ahead and do their work with confidence. And I was glad that I was in their hands and appreciated that very, very much. I'd like to think with you this morning along three lines that are such outstanding vocabulary words of the Christian faith. One is peace. In Philippians chapter 4, the apostle says that when we are not anxious for anything, but we go to him in prayer and supplication, he gives us peace that passes understanding. and lying there, I knew that God's promises are true. I had no anxiety. I had the peace of God that passes understanding. And I want to tell you this morning that I sit here to tell you that I was just amazed at the peace that God gave. It was nothing of efficient effort on my part. It was God's provision. And I could just as well have gone then into the presence of the Lord and been satisfied and without any anxiety or fear. And I know His promises are true. One nice thing is that if you keep on studying the promises of God and put them into daily practice, then when the crisis comes, you don't have to be fishing for something to hang on to, but you can bring to mind the wonderful promises of Scripture. And that those nights, God's peace absolutely amazed me. In normal life, sometimes even small things kind of disturb our peace and we become anxious. But the wonderful thing is that the peace of God is so great that even in the most dire circumstances, we can have His peace and His provision. And it certainly is true what we often say, and that is, the Christian faith is the best thing to live by, and the Christian faith is the best thing to die by. And so the first thing that I underscore for you this morning is that God's peace amazed me. We had a very fine musician in our mission by the name of Gene Jordan, and he came from a large family, very godly mother. She had a brain hemorrhage and slowly slipped away, and she said to all of her relatives present there, "I never knew it was so easy to die." Well, I feel that way about going through an experience like that. It was not a terrible trauma at all, because we were surrounded by the promises of God, and I could stand surely and definitely on them. I think of that little couplet that comes from one of the songs of the Christian faith. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And you know, even at that time, we had some opportunity for joking and for appropriate humor. Our son Mark was with us, and I had been ferried twice in helicopter. By the way, don't pick that very often, because it's $4,000 a shot from this area to Gainesville. And when we talked about that and things had settled down a little bit, my son Mark said, "It's amazing what my dad will do for frequent flyer helicopter miles." I said, "Mark, they were rough miles. I felt that I was lying on the floor the whole distance." Then Mark said, "Well, it's amazing what my dad will do even for uncomfortable helicopter miles." And in the midst of that, we could smile and joke and rejoice in the fact that Jesus is our pilot and we can trust Him 100%. God's promises are true even when your lifeblood is flowing out of you. I had a missionary colleague who blessed my heart many times. He'd had a fair amount of heart trouble, very gifted missionary. And he used to say, when the circumstance was the toughest, "Hallelujah anyhow." And now, as part of our theme, we take the statement, "Hallelujah anyhow." It can be dark as can be, and the circumstance rough as can be, But we can truly say hallelujah anyhow. During these days, because of her illness, Beryl has had to go through some great difficulties, and people who have had strokes find the strokes affecting their emotions and their thinking, and even when they don't want to do that, they kind of descend into the slough of despond, and we kind of had a little talk in the morning on the telephone, and I'd say, Beryl, remember, it's hallelujah anyhow. And she would say, yes, it's hallelujah anyhow. And I think it brightened her day because of the fact that she was looking on the positive side of that circumstance. Peace. He says that he will give us the peace that passes understanding. And it's a great experience to go through a tough circumstance and to find out that God's promises are absolutely true and you can depend upon them 100%. I trust that everybody here not only knows Jesus as Savior, but is walking so closely with Him that in the circumstances of life, you can count on His presence, on His protection, on His help to you, because you are His child in good communion with Him. The second thing I'd like to emphasize is the word power. Not only peace, but power. In Philippians 4:13 it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, in trials, we often feel very weak. And we just understand that we don't have the strength to carry out our mission. And we wish we had the days of the past when we had energy and health and all of the resources necessary to accomplish the work of God. But Paul says when he faced the thorn in the flesh, the power of Christ will rest upon me. I will boast in my infirmities. And one verse that has been especially precious to me in these days is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And listen to this amazing statement. If you had not seen it before or you had not seen it in the Bible, you wouldn't believe it. When I am weak, then I am strong. And I think that that when my strength is taken away and I don't have good health or some circumstance has occurred in my life, I just wish that I had the strength to cope with it. But God says that for the ministry that He then has for us, He supplies the power that we need. And it gives us a lesson in spirituality, because some of us think that if we are in good health and we've got lots of energy and we attend the services and we sing with the people of God and so on, that we are actually enjoying fullness of spiritual experience. But the fact of the matter is that often we do things in our own strength, and they don't have much eternal value in the presence of God Himself. And so when the Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong, namely with the strength and power that accomplishes God's purpose. Some of you have gone through great sickness, others through other circumstances that are hard to bear, and you think that your ministry and that your opportunity to testify is just about gone. You don't have the strength. You don't have the power in order to accomplish what you'd like to accomplish. But in God's sight, the power that really counts for eternity, He supplies in the hour of need. And even though we feel that physically and otherwise we are totally weak, and we wonder if we think that we've gotten to the point where we're useless, and we just don't have the wherewithal to continue ministry in the Christian life. But that isn't true. In the scales of eternity, in the judgment of God, when He allows us to go through very difficult circumstances, and we honor Him and we are victorious in Him, then weighed by heaven's balances, though we are tremendously weak in every sense of the word, nevertheless, in the light of eternity's values, in the light of eternity's the things that count for eternity, even when I feel so weak that I don't think I can do anything at all, Paul said in connection with the thorn in the flesh, and it amazed me as I looked at that phrase. Listen to this. When I am weak, then I am strong. During these days, I just thought to myself, oh, I'd like to go back to those days when I had abundant health and good strength and able to cope with things, and then I could really accomplish things for God. But when He says, when I am weak, then I am strong, it says that under God's care and in God's hands, I am able to accomplish what His purpose is in my life. It's so easy for some of us to quit serving, to quit working, to quit giving our testimony because we think we don't count for anything anymore. But listen to what the Word of God says. When I am weak, then I am strong. And sometimes when it takes me about five times longer to put on my dress clothes, I think, oh man, I just can't get things done. But when I think that God knows what is happening and He judges correctly, why, I can believe and understand, when I am weak, then I am strong. And not only do we have peace and power, but also partners. Not only is the Lord our companion and helper, His followers are also our partners and helpers. Paul speaks of Yodia and Syntyche. He makes reference to them in the Philippines. He says that they were doing a good work, but they were actually doing some harm to themselves and the work of God because they couldn't get along with each other. That they could exercise their partnership in the gospel only effectively if they stayed in harmony with those of like precious faith. I've been thinking so much these days that there are all kinds of obstacles to advance of the gospel, but the greatest obstacle is within the church itself. When those who name the name of Christ and those who say that Jesus means everything to them, and they're constantly with people who also are like believers, but they don't get along with them. They just stay out of harmony with them, and they engage in fruitless argument and difficulty. And when that happens, we discount our work tremendously and the work of the gospel, and constitute an obstacle to the advance of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it's Jim who has quoted a number of times, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. To live below with the saints we know, why, that's a different story. And it may be that there are some of us here today that that don't have all of our relationships like they ought to be. And that isn't just something that affects you and nobody else. It discounts the blessings that you can bring, but at the same time, it does damage and hurt to the Church of Christ. There's nothing that will destroy the testimony of a congregation, the people of God, than not having harmony among those who are followers of the Lord Jesus. We hear a lot about persecution these days, and certainly there's terrible persecution in the world. That's a great obstacle, but the Lord says that in the midst of persecution, He will make His church to grow. Nevertheless, we don't take into consideration that when we are out of harmony with other believers, then we are involved in something that is one of the greatest obstacles to the advance of the work of God and the Church of Jesus Christ. So if there's any one of us today that is on the outs with somebody of the body of Christ, and in the light of eternity it's such a flimsy reason, why, if that's the case in our experience right now, then we'd better get it settled, and we better get into the place of harmony in the body of Christ and be a true helper in the work of God. He talks about Yodi and Syntyche. He makes reference to them in this epistle. He says that they were doing a good work, but they were actually doing harm to themselves and the work of God because they could not get along with each other. On the other hand, he mentions Epaphroditus, who for the work of Christ came close to death. He also mentions Timothy, who sought to help others. And they were the ones that really added an asset to the work of the body of Christ. During these days, folks, I just want to tell you that the fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ is real and genuine. I have experienced so much of blessing by the fellowship of believers and by the help received from believers. Sometimes we can get off the track. Then Satan is very content. But in some instances, we see the lack of love. We are to the point where God is saying to us, let's support and not criticize. Let's not be negative with reference to those who are fellow believers. Yodi and Syntyche had to get some matters straightened out. They weren't as effective in the body of Christ as they thought they were, just because of this obstacle of disharmony. Timothy rendered loving service with an uncritical attitude. Epaphroditus was sick almost unto death, even as the result of his loving service, and made a great contribution to the blessing of the church. And we need to watch out for getting off the track. We need to avoid being critical or negative, because it is not something that just affects us personally in our own experience. Anytime we become that way, we actually are doing damage to the cause of Christ. I just can't explain to you how much benefit I have received during these days from the people of God who have been ready to pray, ready to help, offering all kinds of service and all kinds of aid, just participating very actively in the whole situation. And you knew that you had a good body of men and women that were standing as a stronghold around the need, and that God was blessing them in doing that. I have experienced in a new way the value of the fellowship of the body of Christ and of the followers of the Lord Jesus. And I'm so glad that when the chips are down and we are facing tremendous problems, we can understand that not only do we have the Lord as our helper, but we have fellow believers who are at our beck and call, who are willing to serve, and who are willing to honor God by their service. I pray that if there's anything of disharmony in our group during these days, and if any of us is guilty of a critical spirit and a wrong attitude, that we will recognize how distasteful that is in God's sight and how much different life can be when we take the positive attitude and grow in appreciation for the members of the body of Christ. I'm just about ready to finish, and I guess that's what I'd like to emphasize as I come to a close of this. I have experienced the great ministry of believers in my present trial, and I'm surely glad that I belong to that army, the army of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is the army is present to aid and to help and to provide, in order that I don't have to go through the trial and the difficulty alone, but I can do it in fellowship with other believers, and especially with my shepherd, whom I trust completely and with all my heart. So remember these three things: peace, power, partners. If you and I take God's truth and apply it and live by it, then we begin to experience the peace of God that passes understanding. And when we do that, then we have power beyond anything that we seem to think we have. We only start to complain about our weakness, our shortcomings, our lack of energy, and I can't do what I used to do anymore. But you know, I can do anything God wants me to do at this stage of my life and at this stage of your life. So it's a great thing to walk the pathway of life, just trusting God for each stage and for each part of it, and know that He is there to help and to aid. And then finally, partners, those of like precious faith who are there to aid and to help. And God help us from inserting anything of disharmony that interferes with that help and that actually dishonors God rather than honoring Him and blessing the people of God. You and I need to ask the question, where do I stand in regard to this situation? Am I in a situation where I actually have a critical spirit that negates much of what I'm trying to do in Jesus' name? Oh, what a change it makes if my attitude is right and I honor God by the fellowship of believers and the preciousness of belonging to that great host of those who are followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say in conclusion, thank you for your ministry to us in these days. Thank you for all of the aid that you have provided, and the fact that we have known that you are standing behind us. There's no question about it. And some of you have prayed regularly, constantly, I think powerfully too, for us at this particular time. I want to say a tremendous thank you to those of you who have provided that aid and that help in connection with the ministry of the people of God. I still have a long way to go health-wise. I'm not sure I will recover my health completely, but whatever he ordains is right. And when I am just as weak as can be, and I don't think I can do a solitary thing, I'm able to say with Paul, when I am weak, then I am strong. Not my strength, but the Lord's strength. And that is a strength of eternal consequences, and that has eternal value, much greater than the value of a service that is rendered on the part of a person who is in excellent health and who has all the vigor that he had at one time. He thinks that he's really going great, but there may be part of his experience that is not pleasing to God. All we need to be sure of is that we are pleasing to God, that we walk in his pathway, that we obtain his help, and when we do, then we're talking about things that are of eternal value and that will last forever and ever and ever. I wouldn't particularly choose this kind of health right now, but I'm content in the will of God, and I know that there's some of you who are in that same situation. You think of the good old days when you enjoyed just wonderful, wonderful health and lots of vigor and energy, and you wish you could bring them back again. But what you can do, you can bring God's power into play, and your ministry might be greater in these days when you are going through trial than when everything was, as the fellow said in the good old Latin phrase, hunky-dory. You know? So, thank you for the opportunity of giving this testimony. And one thing is certain, what I have experienced and what others have experienced, you can experience too. In that particular area, the Lord will meet the need that you have, and you can be sure that he has not forgotten you, he has not forgotten me. We're considered part of the fold, and he the good shepherd, and that's enough for us. That's enough for me. Thank you for your service and your help. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the eternal truths of the gospel. And one of these truths is the fact that we have all that we need in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we will just thank you, Lord, for all that you provide and the opportunities that you've given. And let us honor you in what we do, and honor you also by our relationship with other believers. Bless those who are going through very special difficulties right now, that they might take from the difficulties and the provision of God all of the blessings that will come surprisingly into their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who can be trusted 100%. That's our experience. That's the experience of other believers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.